Hello everyone, my name is Philippe and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that we talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And for today's episode, in the Brazilian version of the podcast, I recorded an episode with Vinicius. He is the CEO of MadeInWeb, which is a company that provides digital transformation and AI, and we talked a lot about it, focused on agriculture. And in the end of the conversation, we shift a little bit about cloud, and it was very nice because normally I don't talk a lot about cloud here in the podcast, so today it's going to be the day. And well, so Vinicius, in his history, he found the company when he was only 20 years old, and the company in the beginning, it was just a software house, and it was like 2002, so it's been a while. And today, what I do is that they provide the full life cycle of digital transformation. They provide data foundation, software development, AI, and cybersecurity. So like in the beginning, it was just a software house, but then they evolved to cover the full life cycle of digital transformation regarding all those products that I just said. So before entering this AI part and what they are doing, especially in agriculture, I asked him how hard it is to hire tech people in Brazil, because like I work in France, and in France it's super hard, but I listen a lot of people saying that in Brazil it's even harder. So I wanted to ask a CEO of a company, and he said there is a huge lack of qualified people. And he said that like in normal jobs, when you're good, you're gonna always have a job. But in tech, even if you're average, you're always gonna have a good job, and you can even grow really fast in your career. So like really bad people, they will not get a job. And that's the problem. There are so many open positions and not enough people that those average people, they can grow their careers. So yeah, if you're listening to this episode, it means that you also like tech. And it's not only in Brazil that it's like this, because in France, like I can give you my experience. We tried to hire a senior machine learning engineer at Cantev, and we spent like 2 or 3 months interviewing a lot of people. And in the end, we just said, come on, Philippe, you're going to be our senior machine learning engineer, because we were not able to hire anyone else. Vinicius, he said that sometimes when they really need someone for the open position, they lower the bar so the person can enter. But he said that in the long term, this is not good, because normally what happens is that the person that they hire with the lower bar doesn't go well. And then they need to fire them, this person afterwards. And at Cantev, what we do is that we never lower the bar. So sometimes we cannot hire and we stay with the team that we have. So like another example that I can give to you is that we interview a lot of interns, and like we have a high bar for the CVs, for the resumes, but then we have like 20 people in the pipeline. And for these 20 people that we interview, we make at most 2 or 3 offers in the end. So like 17 out of 20 people, they don't pass all the interviews. I'm not saying that it's the hardest interview process ever. It's just like 2 interviews, one about data science. And if you listen on my podcast, you're going to crush this interview. And the other one is about quantitative modeling, having like math, statistics, and probability. So like it's hard, but it's not impossible. It's not Google, but still there is a huge lack of qualified people for those positions. Yeah, so this is my experience. And now let's go for the use of AI in agriculture by MadeInWeb. So first of all, it's important to know that like agriculture is the most important thing in Brazil, because we export a lot of commodities, and agriculture is probably the main one. And this is what moves our economy. So agriculture in Brazil is really important, and we have a lot of startups in this field. So what he said that one application that you have in AI for agriculture is the create of a score for producers to buy better products at a better price. So what happens is that the industry, they have a lot of producers that they can buy from. And these producers, they produce different quality of what they do. Like we can talk like about meat, about pork meat, or I don't know. This, you have different qualities for different prices in different locations. So what they did is that they created a score, so they know for which provider or for which producer they should buy at what time. Because they also, with this score, you can also know the seasonality, because different regions in Brazil, they have a different climate. And then, well, this score takes into account. So it's not necessarily a huge use of AI, because you can do this only with statistics. but he said that they used AI because it was better than statistics for the specific case. Another example is segmentation of consumers. So we had first the producers, so to buy better, and now we have the consumers to sell better. So we have the use of AI in both ways. So an application is the segmentation of consumers to recommend different products. And when I'm talking here about products, it can be wherever you imagine related to agriculture, meat, this kind of stuff. So we discussed a little bit about it, and he said that it's not like a recommendation algorithm like Facebook one. That's really an algorithm designing what you're seeing. In this case, it's a clustering algorithm that's gonna help the decision-making process. So you're gonna better understand the type of consumer that you have, the way this consumer buy and the way this consumer sell to their clients, and then you're gonna be able to better recommend products for this consumer. So this is a huge use of AI that he said that was able to improve a lot there's the sales process of one of the industries that they were working with. There is also the churn prediction, because if you are able to segment your consumers, you are able to get the cluster that is the consumers that will probably churn soon. And then for this specific cluster, you're gonna have some specific strategy to not let them churn. So churn prediction, you can imagine that is really good, because like getting a new consumer is much harder than maintaining the one that you have. Another example that he gave me is that like sales forecast. And sales forecast, it looks not that important, because I know that next month I'm gonna sell more, like 10% more than this month, or 20% more than the same month of last year. But this is really important, because you need to prepare your factory or prepare, I don't know, trucks for delivering all those products. So sales forecasting is really important. And the last application here using AI is commodities price prediction. So this is a financial marketing problem that you want to predict the price of commodities, so you know better when to sell, when to buy, like if you need to do some head or not. So this is just like a stock market problem that they use the AI to do so. He didn't really enter deep into the algorithms, but he said that for this one of commodities price prediction, they used an ensemble model, not like an XGBoost, a real ensemble, that different models use different features. And then you have a big model that used these previous models to make the decision. And according to him, he said that it worked quite well, like much better than the randomness of the market. And maybe this commodities price prediction is easier than just predicting the price of a stock. I don't know, because I'm not from this field, but he said it works. And now, as I said, guys, we discussed a little bit about cloud. And it was interesting, because normally I don't talk much about cloud here in the podcast, because it's not my field. But despite it's not my specific field, like I'm not a cloud engineer, I use a lot of cloud. So I do have some stuff to say. And the first thing is, he told me that for him, cloud is democratized technology. Why? Because if you take like agriculture producers, they would never have access to this kind of technology. And with cloud providers, it is possible. If they want to have like a storage service, they will need to buy a computer or a data center to store everything. And then if they want a dashboard from it, they will need to launch their dashboard automatically from their computer and set up like the data center and make the connection, or like if it's needed. If you have a lot of data, you would need to do it. If you don't have that much data, you could store everything in your computer. But then you need to set up the development environment. And then you also need to know how to code to produce this dashboard. With the cloud, you don't need the computer. Of course, you need the computer to use the cloud, but you don't need a data center. You don't need a lot of like programming skills. For sure, like cloud is not that easy, but you can set up everything in the cloud with not a lot of costs. Another thing that cloud is super good is the scalability. Like, okay, I started here. I had the need only for one data center because I had like 4,000 gigabytes of something. I don't know. But then I realized that now I have much more consumers and I need to buy another data center. And then I have another fixed cost that is high. And then I need to buy this another data center. And then I found out. And then through time, my demand, it decreases. And I don't need the two data centers anymore. And if my demand decreases, it also means that I have less money. And then I need to sell this data center. So I lost a lot of money because of this, had to buy and then sell this data center. While in cloud, you just need to set up a storage or a data center, wherever you need. And then if you need more, you just put more storage. If you have a virtual machine running something, like to create a dashboard, I don't know, and you need more power, you just put more power, or you set up a new machine. You don't have the fixed cost. For sure, it's very profitable for the cloud services. Like, they have 40% net margin in the end, like 35% net margin. If you take Amazon, for instance, like, you have the e-commerce giving losses and losses every quarter, while AWS is giving profits and like tons of profits every quarter. And the profits of AWS, they pay the losses of the e-commerce. Like, sometimes the e-commerce in the US, they give some profit, but like the e-commerce in Europe, in South America, it's just losses. You can check Amazon's financial statement. So what we discussed is that they're good for both ways. It's a win-win situation where they have a very good profit margin and we have a very good service that we can scale and use the way we want. And specifically for AI, it's super, super good. Imagine that you need to train your algorithm. Like, you take these state-of-the-art algorithms, can be, like, I don't know, GPT-3. For GPT-3, I don't know how many GPUs they use, like 64, 128, I don't know. But imagine that you want to train your own GPT-3, not with 128 GPUs, because this would be super expensive. But imagine that you need like 32 GPUs to train your model. If you need to buy 32 GPUs, like, you can buy not the best one for, I don't know, $1,000. And then you need to pay $32,000 just to train one algorithm. And after this algorithm is trained, you wouldn't need these GPUs anymore. So, like, you wouldn't do it. With the cloud, you can just set up a machine with 32 GPUs and you can parallel, like, everything is already set up for you. You just say, okay, I need 32 GPUs with this CPU, this memory, and I want everything in parallel so I can run it. Everything is set up for you. You can run your algorithm for like 2 or 3 days to train it, and then you just turn down the machine and you paid only for the time that you used. So instead of costing like 30 something thousand dollars or euros, it's gonna cost you like 1,000 or 500. I don't know how much it would cost, but it's much less. And you can use it on demand. You can scale in the way you want. And yeah, it's very good. So as I said, I'm not a specialist in cloud, but I use cloud. And these are just my thoughts about it. And also coming from the discussion with Vinicius, he told kind of the same. And the word in the end is very nice, democratizing technology for everybody. And you can achieve the same computational power as Google have, as Facebook has, as Microsoft have. You just need to pay it for the time that you want to use. So you can train a powerful algorithm like they have just by paying $500, $1,000 instead of needing to buy 32 GPUs. That is like impossible because it's super expensive. So yeah, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Unfortunately, you cannot listen in Portuguese because I imagine most of you don't speak Portuguese, but I hope you enjoyed the podcast anyways. And don't forget to follow the podcast on social media. On Instagram, we are podcast.lifewithai, and on LinkedIn, we are just Life with AI. And yeah, guys, see you till next episode. Bye.